So now, I mean, let's touch briefly on ethical issues, because I think that many people really do think about ethical concerns when they eat, and I think that it's become an issue that people increasingly, if it's not a preoccupation, they certainly, you know, it certainly whiffs through their brain briefly as they right. try to make their choices in the grocery store, and clearly we know that many people get into eating vegetarian or vegan because of concern over animal welfare, and certainly, I'm sure you've received your share of mail claiming that, you know, you hate animals now. But, right. I mean, how right. do you deal with the accusation that because you consume meat, your concern for animals has diminished? And maybe tell me about how you see these two things to be compatible. How do you reconcile eating meat and yet caring for animals?
Right. So this is one of these moments where I can't do it in a soundbite, which is why I ended up writing book for this reason, because it's not something that I can do in 30 seconds.
Sure.
From the outside, it seems obvious that, you know, oh my God, you kill animals. This is terrible. Whereas I don't eat animals, therefore I like animals more than you. Well, you know, you could look at that without knowing any more about it and think, well, sure, killing animals is wrong and not killing animals would be a more ethical decision. The problem is that we don't understand the nature of agriculture. Because agriculture is the most destructive thing that people have done to the planet. So eating an agricultural diet is not, in fact, saving animals. This is what agriculture is. You take a piece of land, you clear every living thing off it, and I mean down to the bacteria, and then you plant it to human use. By doing this, it means that the animals have nowhere to go. And this is what we've done on continent after continent. So first of all, it means that all of those creatures, the plants, the animals, everything that makes topsoil possible, they have been eradicated. Now you plant it with these annual monocrops, which is, you know, supposedly what we're all supposed to be eating. Well, what happens is you're drawing down the soil because the basic template of the earth is what I call perennial polyculture. So it's basically forest, grassland, wetland, savanna. You've got plants that live a very long time all together in a community. Their basic job is to protect and build topsoil. And that's why the earth makes forests and savannas and, you know, prairies and wetlands. And topsoil is the basis of life itself. So you've got all these creatures working together, forming these resilient communities that are essentially about building topsoil. Agriculture is the exact opposite, because you clear away those plants, whether it's prairie or whether it's forest, you clear them away, and then you just plant these annuals, which only live for a season or two, and it means that every time you do that, not only have you destroyed the forests and the prairies, but every time you plant those crops, you're destroying more topsoil. At this point, the planet has literally been skinned alive. There is no topsoil left. By 1950, in fact, there should have been mass starvation everywhere. What happened instead was the Green Revolution. So what we've been eating since 1950 is, in fact, fossil fuel. We've been eating nitrogen fertilizer that's made from gas and oil. That's put off the inevitable, you know, for a few generations. Eventually, we're going to be faced with the same problem. But my ultimate goal here is that we need to be repairing the template of the earth, which means we need to take all the agricultural land and put it back into forest and back into prairie and restore the wetlands. That is the only thing that's going to save this planet. Once that's done, as humans, our role is to take our place from inside those communities and get our food from inside those living, vibrant communities that are what make life possible. So we need to understand that agriculture is what destroys forests and prairies. By its nature, that's what it does. And on a grimmer level, it destroys the actual topsoil, which is the basis of life itself. And once we've restored those perennial polycultures, the forests and the prairies and whatnot, to take our place inside them means that we, like every other living creature, we need to get our sustenance as members of those communities. Now, as humans, we cannot digest cellulose. We can't eat grass. Buffalo can eat grass. Zebra can eat grass. We cannot. We do not have the mechanism to digest cellulose. I mean, a cow has a rumen. She has this incredible vat, this fermentative vat inside her. And what's actually happening in there is that she eats the grass. She's feeding that grass to bacteria that live inside her. And then after the bacteria eat the grass, she eats the bacteria. So it's a circle where each of these creatures is doing something for the other. You know, she's feeding the bacteria, and then she eats them. And then, you know, she's also part of this cycle that is the grasslands, where the grass actually needs her inputs as well. The grass needs to be grazed by these animals. It actually, if you take a grassland and you take the ruminants off it, you will end up with a desert because they have really important functions to play. So all of us are members of this community, and we need to play our role. Like I said, if you take the cow off the grass, you'll end up with a desert. But in the same way, if you don't have predators on the cows, it will also turn into a desert because the cows will overpopulate and they will degrade it until there's nothing left. And that is our role as humans. I mean, we are predators, so our role is to eat the cows. And the cow eats the grass, the bacteria, you know, plays the role, then we eat the cows, and then in the end, the soil eats us all because we all die one way or another. And then the nutrients are taken up again into the soil and into the grass. We are part of a cycle. We are part of a living community. That is the only way for humans to live sustainably, is to be part of that. And it does involve death. The problem is that there is no death-free option. You can pretend that your fluffy soybean whatever is some kind of death-free option, but it is not. In the getting of those soybeans, an entire continent has been cleared of all life. And all of those animals were killed. There are no longer, you know, free-roaming buffalo, so that we could grow soybeans and wheat and corn. And the degradation continues. And if we don't stop it soon, there will be nothing left. There's no more water left. You know, all the rivers have been drained. The ancient aquifers have been pumped dry. At this point, they're using oil drilling equipment to get that water out. And we've got global warming. Now, the only good news here is that if we took all the agricultural land basically east of the Mississippi, and we put it back into prairie, back into grassland, the United States would immediately become a carbon sink. And that's still with everybody driving SUVs. So we could, in fact, stop global warming. We could stop it on a dime if we understood what the problem was. If the entire planet would do that, if we would take all the agricultural land and put it back into prairie and forest now, it would only take 9 or 10 years to take all the carbon that we've added since the industrial age. All of that could be withdrawn from the atmosphere in under 10 years if we would simply repair what we have destroyed and then take our place again inside those living communities. So, you know, one way to say this is that we've really got two choices. We can be the part of the death that's destroying all life, or we can be part of the death that's the cycle of life. But those are our only options. You know, we can dominate or we can participate, but in the end, there's no way out. There is no death-free option. And I know, I understand where the vegetarians, and there's a tremendous longing to live a compassionate and nonviolent life. And those are values that have motivated me forever. I mean, since I was 4 years old. But they don't have the information to make the right, decision about this. And so my goal in writing this book was to provide that information so that we could make better decisions, both as individuals, but also as a movement, because our planet is in serious distress. And we need to understand the actions that need to be taken at this point before it's too late.